Hey, what's up, everybody? Heath Mullican from the Double Dropkick Show, and I'm driving home from training today. Three Count Pro Wrestling. We just got a new facility in Easley, which is about 10 or 15 minutes closer than the last place to where I live, and just grabbed some lunch, so I'm heading home. Let me cut some air on here because it's hot here in South Kakalaki today. Just want to talk some things. So I talk a lot to myself when I'm driving. So this is nothing new. I'm not going to be looking at the camera, and I'm certainly not going to be taking questions and comments today. I will go back and if you post a comment or a question, I'll go back and respond to those when I get home. Hoping to spend some good quality time with the family today. So let's talk about, first, I want to talk about the Ring of Honor pay-per-view, the 15th anniversary show. First thing I want to say about this is Kevin Kelly, who is not full-time with the Ring of Honor anymore, but it's kind of on a per date basis with them. I thought, and this is just my personal opinion, okay? I thought they pulled off the three-man booth brilliantly. With Kevin Kelly, Colt Cabana, and I'm going to be honest, I don't remember the kid's name. This kid that's jumped in at Ring of Honor, I really like him. I really like him because he is genuine. I believe what he's saying. He does an amazing job of telling the story, I think. And so I think he's definitely got a future. And I thought everybody played their role on the commentary. I thought it was great. Colt Cabana hit in every match, I thought hit the right notes. And even better than that is when they went on Facebook Live after the show, Colt Cabana made a big deal about not being on the show. And I thought that was big. And so I really liked that aspect of the entire show. Now, when it first started, I'll be honest, when it first started, there was a feeling out process. And if you go back and you watch the first intro, Kevin Kelly, very subdued, if that's the right word. He didn't really say a whole lot. He was just kind of giving one-word answers, very, very short answers. But then once they got going, I thought it was great. You may have hated it. I'm just saying, for me as a wrestling fan, I thoroughly enjoyed it. I thought it was, from top to bottom, first match to last match, it was the most enjoyable pay-per-view I have seen in a long time that I have watched from start to finish. I thought every match did what it was supposed to do. I felt that, I've got no complaints with this pay-per-view. The six-man tag team match for the tag team titles. If you have not seen the injury to TK O'Ryan, I don't recommend that you go back and see it. It was one of those things where he does the moonsault to the outside. And so they see the move, and it's a big move, and it's a huge, pop from the crowd and from the announcers as well. And it's on the replay that Kevin Kelly, they all notice, man, this guy just broke his leg on the barricade. And it is plain to see. It is a nasty, nasty break. It's nasty to see. So they didn't show the replay again. And I really appreciated that from Ring of Honor. They didn't show it 100 times. They didn't show 10 different close-up angles of that injury. They basically said they took the match home, finished the match, and then they got him help. And Kevin Kelly's on commentary saying, we need some help out there, and there's some urgency in his voice. And it was a real moment. And I feel really bad for Matt Taven, who just, as he's been getting over either his own injuries or now this injury. And so I really hope, I think he's got some talent. And if I haven't told this story, let me just tell this story real quick. We went to a show, and a Ring of Honor show, and Matt Taven was working. And there was a kid there sitting behind us, and he didn't make a peep the entire night, except when Matt Taven came out, he let Matt Taven have it. And I don't know if Matt Taven had like broke up with this guy's sister. I don't know what he had done, but it was crazy. He's like, Matt Taven sucks. I mean, this guy was going nuts. He was absolutely livid about Matt Taven. And it was just funny to see, because I'm not exaggerating. When I say he was silent the rest of the night, he sat in his seat and did not say a word. It was crazy, but something about Matt Taven really set him off. Bobby Fish and Jay Lethal had a really good match. The Briscoes and Bubba Ray versus War Machine and Davey Jr. I thought that was a good match. I thought they told good stories in there, especially setting up some stuff between War Machine and Davey Boy Smith. I thought Kevin Kelly did a great job of tying in stuff that had happened in New Japan and then coming over. That was really good. Tag team title match. So if you don't know this, just a few hours before the pay-per-view was supposed to air, Impact Wrestling sent a cease and desist to Dish Network and said, if the Hardys do any of their delete gimmicks on this pay-per-view, we're going to sue you. So right before the pay-per-view is supposed to air, Dish Network pulls the plug on it. Now, fortunately, I had family in town, so I knew I wasn't going to be able to watch this in a traditional sense on my TV. So I actually ordered it through the Fight app and didn't have any streaming problems. Enjoyed watching the show like that, even though I had to watch it on my phone, but I had my headphones, and so I was kind of in my own little world there. But the Hardys come out. If you haven't seen it, they're facing off with the Young Bucks, and they're wanting to do the delete chant, but they can't do delete, delete, delete. So Roppongi Vice, Rocky Romero, and Trent Beretta come up, and they chop them. And it takes about three chops for the fans to realize, oh, they're doing delete, but they can't just straight up do delete. So that was pretty funny. That match, it was a Las Vegas street fight. It was what it was, you know. It was entertaining. What I wouldn't say, you know, it was a classic match or one I would go back and watch 100 times. But it was an entertaining match. The match I do want to talk about is Christopher Daniels and Adam Cole. A couple things about this match that were great, in my opinion. Very early in the match, Daniels starts bleeding. And when Adam Cole super kicks his head into the post outside. And Kevin Kelly immediately draws attention to, man, he hit his head on the post. Colt Cabana draws attention to it. They all draw attention to, oh my goodness, he hit his head on the post. Christopher Daniel comes up. Blood is everywhere. Blood is all over his bald head. It just created this whole nother level of the match for me. It added to the intensity of it. And then Adam Cole starts talking trash. And they did a really good job of capturing all of that. and he's talking trash about Christopher Daniels, and he's, you know, talking trash about his wife and stuff, and Christopher Daniels kind of comes back at him. And then we get to the end, and all right, so spoiler alerts. So about a month before the pay-per-view, Frankie Kazarian, Christopher Daniels, they have some tension, and Kazarian joins the Bullet Club. So Kazarian attacks Daniels. He's in the Bullet Club. Daniels is devastated. So at the pay-per-view, we get the ref bump. Kazarian comes out. He's got on a Bullet Club shirt. He's holding Christopher Daniels, and Adam Cole is going to hit him with the bell. He goes to hit Daniels with the belt. Daniels breaks free from Kazarian, but Cole holds up and doesn't hit Kazarian. Kazarian says, hey, let me hit him with the belt. So Adam Cole hands Kazarian the belt, and Kazarian is winding up, and he's ready to hit Christopher Daniels with the belt, and he's measuring him. And then all of a sudden, he just throws the belt out of the ring, rips his T-shirt, and he's got the Christopher Daniels T-shirt. That he had that on that night. He's got that on. So let's pause. Let me pause right there. If you're at that show live and you're, you know, in the cheap seats, you know that he's tearing off his T-shirt, so you know something's happening. But it took the crowd a second to realize what shirt he was wearing. And I don't think this is a bad move. I'm just saying Christopher Daniels doesn't have a recognizable shirt. It took me a second at home, following the whole angle, it took me a second to catch what was happening, you know? So I thought it was a really cool moment. And then, of course, Kazarian just flips Adam Cole off. And the best thing about it is, I can't remember, I don't think Kazarian touches Adam Cole. Adam Cole just turns around, and Christopher Daniels is waiting on him, hits his move, then three BMEs, three best moonsaults ever in a row. That was just crazy to see. And then, you know, Christopher Daniels wins. I was really surprised. I didn't know how this was going to go. I was hoping Christopher Daniels would win because that's a good story. I'm not one of those guys that feels like everybody deserves the world title. That's not why I wanted that to happen. It wasn't that, well, Christopher Daniels deserves the world title. That's not it. I wanted him to win because they told a great story. Hey, this guy was in the very first Ring of Honor main event. This guy's done this. This guy's done that. But he hasn't done this. And that, for me, that was the perfect payoff, especially Kazarian coming out. I loved it. I absolutely loved it. For me, as a wrestling fan, that match, the physicality of it, the way they told the story with the blood, the way they told the story with the difference in age between the two guys, I thought it was really good. I think if Ring of Honor can do that kind of storytelling every time, boom, they're going to get my money every time they do a pay-per-view. Probably going to get their pay-per-view on April 1st because I want to see the Hardys and the Bucks in the ladder match. Just being honest. So, Ring of Honor has lost some talent the last couple months. I've heard they might be losing some more in Leo Rush. They just lost Donovan Dijak. Perhaps Adam Cole. I don't know. But Ring of Honor, people don't understand, Ring of Honor has always lost talent to other companies. Ring of Honor has just got to continue. And I know they've been doing their tryout camps, things of that nature. So we'll see. It's going to be an interesting thing, but I thought it was a great pay-per-view. It's my favorite start to finish pay-per-view that I've seen in a long time. Second thing, let's talk about AJ and Shane. So When I first heard a month and a half, maybe 2 months ago, that WrestleMania was looking like AJ Styles and Shane McMahon were going to wrestle, I was not interested in that. And I was not interested in that because I am a huge AJ Styles fan. And so my natural reaction, my natural bent is I want AJ in the title picture. But here's what I have come to realize. AJ will be wrestling the owner of the company's son. So that, in the eyes of the fans, in the eyes of the company, that's on the same level as one of the title matches. It will be one of the featured matches on the card. I don't think Shane's a great worker. I mean, I think Shane does some things in the ring very well. He does spots very well. We talked about it maybe in the Patrons group the other day. Throwing punches, not so much. The bell-to-bell work, not so much. But as far as doing something big and memorable, Shane can do that. And so I do think AJ Styles has an opportunity in this match for something to happen that's going to get replayed in every WrestleMania clip for the next 20 years. And that, to me, that's pretty cool. So as an AJ Styles fan, that match is going to get a lot of attention, and it's going to be a feature match. And I liked what they did on SmackDown, that AJ wasn't happy, and AJ jumped Shane. Now I've heard a rumor this week. I don't remember what website I read on that Shane may win this match. And I don't think I need to really say how I feel about that. I don't think that's the right move. I definitely don't want to see AJ 0-2 to start off his WrestleMania career. But whatever. Last thing I want to talk about. So just to let you know, coming up Monday on the Double Dropkick Show, changing gears a little bit. We did an episode talking about movies. So we talked about Logan. We talked about Skull Island. We talked about Arrival a little bit. We talked about the movies we're really looking forward into 2017. One that I realized that we left off was Spider-Man Homecoming. We didn't talk about that much. We talked about a lot of other movies. But on March, the Thursday before WrestleMania, we're going to be doing a live show in our patrons-only group. And we are taking all the WrestleManias. We are creating the Ultimate WrestleMania card. Here's the parameters we set for ourselves. You can only use guys once, and you can only use a title once. So, for example, if we want to say Hogan versus Savage, well, that's our title match, and we can't use Hogan and Savage again on the card. So that's one thing we're working on, but that's going to be in our patrons-only group, which you can join by donating a minimum $1 a month at patreon.com/doubledropkick, and there's other perks for different levels of joining, but... you being a member of that Patrons Only Facebook group where we talk about a lot of different things. Mark answers questions that he doesn't answer anywhere else. It's good. So the final thing I want to talk about today on this show was just how I think Impact messed up these first 2 weeks since their soft reboot. This episode Thursday did very good ratings for Pop, over 300,000. It was over 40,000 jump from the week before. which is good. That's a good rating for being on that channel. Here's the thing. This is what I would have done differently. I think we talked about it a little bit last week on the weekly dropkick that we would have started over with all the titles. Well, that's, I would have done a hard reboot. I would have shown up that, the first Thursday, I would have shown up with a new name, a new logo. You can still use the six-sided ring, but I would do away with the entire history of TNA, with the entire history of Impact, and I would have said, this is day one. This is a fresh start. I would have had a lot of vignettes for my wrestlers, for them to just do introductory promos about why they matter, about why they're good, about why people should care about them. I would have done that. And then I would have started on that first episode, I would have started tournaments for every title, culminating in a pay-per-view where you're going to get a new world champion, new tag team champions, new X Division champion, a new knockouts champion. That you take a month, 2 months, and you build, and hey, we're doing this pay-per-view. Now, what kept them, if I'm not mistaken, and I could be, TNA has a lot of, excuse me, Impact Wrestling has a lot of foreign contracts. So it's not just about what's in America, what's on Pop TV. They have a lot of foreign contracts. Excuse me. Where they're required to produce certain content. That's why they're still doing these one night only pay-per-views. It's just in their contract. It's not like they're thinking, hey, let's do these pay-per-views with random matches with random people that have no bearing on the weekly television show. Let's do those. No, I mean, they're contractually obligated to provide a certain amount of content for their partners, for their providers. So that's one of the reasons that's happening. But I would have done a hard reboot. I would have started out from scratch. You could have still brought out Dutch Mantel. You could have brought out Bruce Pritchard. And I felt like the backstage segment, like where they were kind of in the boardroom. Start talking about the tag team titles. I thought that was pretty lame. That's just me. I'm not saying just the way it came across, the way that they did it. I didn't care for it. That's just me. Again, you know, other people may have loved it. Now, I have not watched probably the last 30 minutes of that episode of Impact. Just because I was not feeling well that day, and I went ahead and went to bed. But that's how good Impact was for me that night. It was so good. It wasn't like, I've watched wrestling shows before where I wasn't feeling good, but it kept me glued. But Impact didn't do that Thursday night. What else? Yeah, we just, you know, I mentioned at the beginning of the video, I'm driving home from training. Just had lunch with one of our three count trainees, really good guy. People ask the question all the time, man, how do you get into the wrestling business? And wherever you live, you got to find somebody to train with. And it's hard, man. There's people that will take advantage of you, just like in all walks of life. And you know, the first thing we do with anybody that we meet with is we tell them what we are about. We tell them our vision. We tell them what we want our company to be, what we want our company to represent, and what we don't want it to represent. We talk about our values, you know, as a company. And then we kind of, you know, leave it there. And we just kind of put it on the table, and guys can take it or leave it. And you know, we work with people. Right now, we're working people from all different backgrounds, and you know, we work on, you know, developing everything, developing the physical aspect of your work, developing the mental aspect. One of the things I really like about our trainers is they're not just telling you what to do, they're telling you why to do it. So it's a lot of fun, man. It's a lot of fun. And, you know, we're in Upstate South Carolina, and right now we're the only training facility in Upstate South Carolina, right here in Easley, man. And we got a nice building now. We got plenty of space. And it's a lot of fun. So if you're in Upstate South Carolina, you need to come check us out. You need to come to, we got a show March 25th at Liberty High School. You need to come check that out. It's going to be a great, great night. Like I said, Monday on the Double Dropkick Show, it's Logan, Skull Island, other great movies from 2017 in the last 6 months or so. And then Wednesday, the following Monday, next Wednesday, we're getting down to the semifinals of the Death Dealers Invitational Ultimate Fantasy Tag Team Tournament. It's been a lot of fun. We have some great conversations on these upcoming episodes about different workers, different booking. And when we get to the end of this tournament, you'll be able to go back and listen, and there is a story. Like, you can visualize this tournament playing out. We have tried to paint a picture for you so you can see the story of this tournament. And we could not have planned it. We did not pre-book this. We did the blind draw in the first round, and it organically happened. And it could not, it's brilliant. Mark Whitman, this is even more brilliant than his, and it's totally different. If you listen to our singles tournament, the Ultimate Singles Tournament, there's some shockers in there. I mean, the final four of the singles tournament, spoiler alert, the final four were Goldberg, John Cena, The Undertaker, and Mitsuhiro Misawa. Crazy. How did that happen? But we decided early on, you know, anybody can book a fantasy tournament, but we want to book a different fantasy tournament, and we did. And I'm very, you know, very happy with how that turned out. So make sure you go to doubledropkick.com. That's our website. There's a link at the top that says episodes. You can go back, man. Over 180 episodes. Some of those are interviews with wrestlers. There's an interview with Matt Hardy in there. There's an interview with Gunner. There's an interview with Matt Hardy. There's an interview with Hall of Famers like Greg Valentine. There's an interview with B. Brian Blair. There's an interview with wrestling journalists. We got an interview with Mike Mooneyham in there. There's an interview with Bruce Mitchell, who has his own podcast of his own. And I'm telling you, nothing more intimidating than interviewing a guy like Bruce Mitchell, who Mark introduced me to, and who has just been such a huge help to us as far as just not what he's writing, but just in what Mark and I are trying to do. Bruce has been just a great encouragement to us, and you know, we're greatly appreciative of that. There's a great interview with Wahoo McDaniel's wife, Karen. That's one of our most popular interviews because not a lot of people have heard her side of the story on a lot of things. No matter what you like, I mean, there's reviews in there. I mean, we are going to be talking about WrestleMania here coming up in a couple of weeks. But that's just not what we like to do every week. We're both getting into a lot of Memphis wrestling. We did not grow up on Memphis wrestling. We're getting ready to do an episode coming up on how, you know, where you grew up in the United States affects how you view wrestling. I talked about this. I did a post in the group the other day. You know, we have over 83,000 members in the Facebook group, The Wrestling You Grew Up With. That's where you're watching this, if you're watching this on Facebook Live. Over 83,000 people, and many from other countries, and their knowledge of wrestling is different than if you live in the United States. If you grew up on Jim Crockett Promotions, or you grew up watching WWF, or you grew up watching AWA, or Memphis, or Mid-South, you have a different orientation to wrestling than someone who is in the Middle East, or Russia, or Australia, or Africa. You just have a different bent in wrestling. And so I mentioned this the other day. People in foreign countries, they dig Roman Reigns, because that the concept of this guy's being pushed down our throat is completely foreign to them, because the idea of how Roman Reigns is being booked is completely an Americanized idea, because the cat's out of the bag. And there's a lot of countries the cat's not out of the bag. There's a lot of countries wrestling is still relatively new, and wrestling is still relatively real. And so if when somebody posts something, just look and see, hey, is this somebody from a different country? Because they have a different take on wrestling than I do. And so there's no need to put your meme. If somebody posts something legit, like if I posted, hey, what's the deal with Roman Reigns? Then that would be trolling. But if somebody from another country asks something about Roman Reigns, or they like Roman Reigns, they're not trolling. So there's no need to post your Chris Jericho, you just made the list meme. It's just not necessary, because it's offensive. Because some people, our goal in this group is to educate people. To educate people on what? The wrestling we grew up with. And to tell them, hey, you like WWE now? That's awesome. Let's show you some really good wrestling. Let's post some old wrestling, or here's some stuff on the network you could watch. That, hey, Roman Reigns is not the end-all be-all in professional wrestling. But if you like him, great. If you don't like him, great. We all like wrestling. Boom. Can't we just get along? Can't we just agree on that? So I'm getting ready to pull in here and get me some Starbucks, because that's what I do on Saturdays. Not really. But I appreciate everybody. I have not seen any of the comments. I have done my best to record this episode as safely as possible. I talk going down the road anyway, so talking, not that big of a deal. Try not to look at the camera unless I was stopped at a red light or something. Children, don't try this at home. I'm a trained professional. I appreciate everybody watching. I hope you all have a great weekend. And remember, download, subscribe, rate, and review Double Dropkick Show on iTunes. Let me know how you're doing on Twitter. I'm at Heath Mulliken. You can send Mark a message at the DDK Show. So peace out. Have a great weekend. WrestleMania, only 2 weeks away. Let's get excited, baby.